very humble things can be very holy things. Very ordinary things can be very full of God.
In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about humble things can be holy things. In our last talk, I was describing to you my arrival in the jungle, the western jungle of Ecuador, as a new missionary in 1952. I went to work with two English women named Doreen and Barbara, who were working with a tribe called the Colorados. Their language had never been reduced to writing, these Indians, and Doreen and Barbara didn't quite know how to go about it, and I had had special training along that line. So they had invited me and my colleague Dorothy, who was going to sort of run a little school for Indian children there, to come and work with them. And so we'd arrived at Doreen's house, and we'd had a very tasty lunch of spinach soup and rice and fried eggs and tea, and then we were introduced to our house, Dorothy and me. It was a huge barn-like house that had been built by E.T., another missionary with a wife and family, who were now living in the town of Santo Domingo. So we moved into this big, empty, barn-like place, sort of creaking when we went up the stairs. It had a thatched roof, and the walls didn't quite reach the roof, so there was a large space between the top of the walls and the roof that I learned very quickly admitted all sorts of creatures like bats and bugs. And I had a bedroom to myself, quite spacious. There was a double bed there, but it only had a single mattress, so it was kind of an odd-looking bed. There was no such thing as a dresser, but I learned that kerosene boxes made very nice dressers. You just stacked up three kerosene boxes on their sides and put a little curtain in front, and I put a linen, old-fashioned linen towel that my mother had given me on the top of it, and that made a very civilized-looking cover. And then I set my bottle of tweed cologne, which I had been wearing for a number of years and made me feel very civilized. Not that I used it very often in the jungle, but it sort of gave me a cozy feeling just to have a little touch of home like that on top of the linen cover on top of my dresser made of kerosene boxes. There was no closet, so I just hung up a plastic clothes bag, and I had brought with me from the States a little tiny red fireman's lantern, which I hung on a nail on the wall, and that was the only light in the room. I found an empty jar somewhere, not that there were many of those around, they were pretty precious, but I suppose E.T. or his wife had left an empty jar somewhere in the house, and I went out and found some vines and put those in the jar, just to make a place of order and peace, and as much as possible, of beauty. The kitchen in that house was something else. There was a fogón. Well, a fogón is nothing but a wooden sandbox on legs. On the sand, you build a fire, just as you would on the ground. There was a bar, a wooden bar across the top, on which you could hang a pot over the fire, but it was a primitive stove, very primitive, to say the least. Then, in the dining room, we had a huge table, sort of like a picnic table, and then there were a few chairs of the sort that one used to see outdoors in Bible conferences when I was a kid, those slanted seat, wooden slat chairs. I think maybe you know the ones I'm talking about. Very large, very ungainly, not exactly what you would think of as living room furniture, but in such a huge barn-like house, it fit quite well. I thought about the fact that when Jesus was here on earth, he loved what must have been a very humble home. It was not his home. It was the home of three very dear friends. And they were all single people. Did you ever think of that? Mary, and Martha and Lazarus were, as far as we know, single. And these three had made a home, a place of refuge and peace for Jesus. I don't suppose for a moment that it was a very fancy place. We know that Martha did the cooking, so they must not have had servants. And I suppose they had fixed a little room for Jesus somewhere. But we know from the Gospels that he resorted to that place of peace, not just once, but many times. And if Jesus graced that humble home with his presence, doesn't it tell us something about how important or how unimportant material things are? Very humble things can be very holy things. Very ordinary things can be very full of God. Well, I want to tell you about our Sunday morning meetings. We were missionaries, of course, and as I told you, Doreen and Barbara had been working in this area for some years, so there was a small group of believers. They were white people, not the Colorado Indians yet, although today there is a group of Colorado Indians that form a church. But you can't imagine anything much less formal than the little Sunday morning church service that we had in San Miguel. It was patterned on what might be called Plymouth Brethren lines, as simply following the New Testament pattern as possible. There was nothing formal about it, and yet it had its own unvarying form or liturgy. The Brethren, as they called themselves, met in a schoolroom which occupied the ground floor of our house, and they sat around in a modified circle, and there was a table in the middle on which was a whole loaf of bread and a cup of wine. There was not one minister, but anyone who felt led of the Spirit could stand up and speak, as long as he was a male, or they could give out a hymn or lead in prayer. And after there had been a few hymns sung and a few words of scripture read, then they would break the bread. The meeting was very often interrupted by dogs barking, children crying, women getting up to see who was going by, men leaving their seats in order to spit out the door or the window or perhaps smoke a cigarette or wander around outside for a little while until they felt like coming back in. The distractions were endless. I think of what an unimpressive show it would have been for anybody who was looking for a church. It was a scraggly-looking group of the poor and humble, many of them barefooted, some of the women nursing babies or fussing with toddlers. You might ask, could the presence of God be here? Would Almighty God dwell in the midst of a company like this? And this question did occur to me quite often when the physical appearances threatened all spiritual sensibility. Sometimes the whole thing seemed absolutely farcical. And yet, in my saner moments, I knew that there was a reality here. In the greatest simplicity, there were a few true believers who had come together to give testimony to their belief. They saw through a glass darkly, but they were followers of the true light. And God does come and dwell with men. One of the most beautiful names of God is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Jesus left his disciples, he had said to them, "This do in remembrance of me." And he then gave them the bread which represented his body and the cup, the sign of his blood. And so this simple little church, this humble gathering of simple people, was in fact the real heart of our life together. Well, I could go into endless details about jungle housekeeping. When we talk about getting back to the simple life, we have to realize we'd be getting back to a very complicated way of doing things by comparison with some of the conveniences that we have. Did you ever think about the blessing of piped water? Well, if you have to collect all of your water from a thatched roof, you get what looks like tea in the first place, and there will be quite a few creatures and foreign objects floating in the water, which either have to be sieved out or strained out or filtered out, and you put it in a pot and you let it settle for a couple of days until it looks like a little bit weaker tea. I came to realize that faucets and drains are almost miraculous inventions and conveniences. That fogon, that sandbox stove that we had, just about drove me bananas at the beginning because it was always going out. I wasn't very good at keeping a fire going when the wood was always wet. I had to learn to fan it the way the Indian women did. And the gasoline pressure stove, which was supposed to be a modern convenience, was infuriatingly temperamental, and we were endlessly having to ream out the little pipe that fed the gasoline into the lamp. And when you would try to boil milk on it, of course it went without saying, that 9 times out of 10 the milk boiled over. And the books tell you that if you're going to boil your drinking water in order to be safe, it has to be boiled for 20 minutes. Well, to keep that gasoline pressure stove going steadily for 20 minutes was one of the neatest tricks of the year. And what do you do with butter, for example, if you have no refrigerator? Well, I discovered that if you submerge it in a jar with salt water, that it will keep probably at least a week. We made jam out of apple parings, and we made our own bread and laboriously baked it in a tiny little oven which we set on top of the gasoline pressure stove. And we did have a pressure cooker, but not very long after we got there, it blew its safety valve right through the roof. I mean, literally, through the thatched roof. So that was the end of that, and life became simpler again. And I was always saying to myself, as soon as I get all this stuff done, as soon as I get all this under control, as soon as I learn to cope with these conveniences or lack of conveniences, then I can start serving God. The truth, of course, was that all of that, too, was a part of the will of God. It's not just brain work that God wants. It's not just spiritual work that God requires of us. I, the Lord, have called thee, he said, and very humble things can be very holy things if they are offered to him.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.